I think it's really okay to ask for what you want, especially on that
Absolutely.
day, right? It's funny because my husband, or did I see as a meme? I don't know, because like my husband's always just like, why is Father's Day always like, we're gonna go do this activity with the kids, you know, and Mother's Day is, at least in my house, I'm like, hi everybody, thanks for breakfast, bye. You know what I mean? Like for Mother's Day, mom wants to just sit by herself. Or, you know, like I have a friend who has asked for, has what she's done for every year for Mother's Day, her husband gets her a hotel room, like she has a staycation, and she gets to order room service and do whatever she wants and has a massage at the hotel and just gets a day away, right? Like I think he may even give her 2 nights at a hotel room.
Woo, 2 nights at a hotel, kid-free. Oh, happy Mother's Day indeed. And you know what? We all deserve the Mother's Day of our dreams. And that's what we talk about today, figuring out and asking for the Mother's Day that you actually desire on the next Harness the Power of Planning podcast coming up now.
We are Beyond Your Wildest Dreams, or BYWD. I'm Allegra.
I'm Natasha.
And as usual, we do a little bit of chit chat and then we talk about our topic. And our topic today is asking for the Mother's Day that you desire. But first, before we talk about that, we're going to talk about a little chit chat. I had a really interesting insight, which if you've listened to us before, you know that we talk a lot about habits that help us reclaim our time and energy, maintain our sanity as busy working moms, you know, with children who are still live at home. And one of the tools that really helps keep me sane, and not just sane, but happy, is my morning ritual. And it was interesting because I have been not at home for more days of April than I have been home.
Yeah, a lot of travel for you this month, right?
Yes, tons. A lot of travel. We chased the eclipse. Our family chased the eclipse with some of my close friends, and we met up in Indianapolis. And then I also went on a little solo retreat, which I like to do annually. I don't usually do a family trip and a solo retreat back to back. It just so happened. And so it was really interesting to see how hard it was to keep up with my morning ritual when I wasn't in my space. And when Natasha and I talk about morning ritual, we talk about getting your morning ritual to the point where you don't even have to think about it because it's a habit, right? And it might, if you don't have a morning ritual, that might sound impossible to you, but just think about this. Think about when you started learning to drive. I don't know about you. I started learning to drive on stick. So I don't know if that added to it, but I was so exhausted after every driving lesson with one of my parents that I had to take a nap. Did you have this experience? No?
It oh my wasn't, gosh. It wasn't like that. I didn't learn stick till after I'd already learned how to drive.
I just remember feeling like I had to concentrate
the driving lessons because it was not good. when my dad tried to teach me how to drive, it didn't work out well for us. So they just sent me to somebody else and I went to a driving school.
Well, and I just remember feeling like my brain was so tired. Like I have to push this and look here and turn there and also maintain speed. And it was exhausting. And now though, as you all know, as anyone who's driven for a long time knows, you drive and you don't even know how you got to the place that you got to, right? You're like, whoa, how did I get here? I don't even remember the drive. And the same thing happens with a morning ritual for me when I'm at home. And one of the reasons why is if you've studied habit formation at all, then you might know that two of the most powerful triggers for making sure that a habit happens are time and location. Okay, now time, obviously something that travels with you, right? Like an alarm going off reminds you to make your bed. Okay, I had no problem making my bed. The problem was everything else in my morning ritual because I didn't have my usual locations to go to do them. And so my skincare routine, I did the basics, but I didn't do my whole leisurely, like my candle and my music and all of that sort of thing did not happen. And I brought a travel candle with me. I have my music on my phone. So it's not like those things weren't with me, but it just like, I didn't have the trigger.
It's really hard. It's really hard, honestly, to keep something like that going. You know, like you said, either A, you don't have all the things that you usually use, or B, you don't have those cues of being in location. It's funny because before I got better at doing skincare regularly, I'm not up to your level, but I now do skincare regularly. It's funny when I would go places, like whether on vacation or whatever, I'd be in a hotel room or even just like at a staying with friends or something. I took better care of my skin than I did at home because if I was, especially if I was on like a vacation, there was like more time. I was like not, you know, if I wasn't traveling with my kids, like I was like, oh, I have a little bit more space and time. I'm like, I'm going to go ahead, and suddenly I'm taking really good care of my skin when I'm traveling and not when I was at home. So it was because I felt like there was space, it, you know, time and space for it. Also, when you go to a hotel, like there's no, you know, it's just like a hotel, no clutter, right? There's nothing else cluttering up your vanity. And like, you know, you, and at least this is for me, I don't know about the rest of you. And I was like, oh, I can put all the skincare products out. It's all right there. And I can just see them, you know, whereas at home I have things put in cabinets and put it away. I now actually have my skincare stuff all in a tray and on my vanity. So it is right there and accessible, because when I was at home, I used to put it in the medicine cabinet, and guess what? I didn't see it. I didn't do it. So I need those visual cues. And so it was the opposite for me before I started getting really good about doing my skincare. Now that I'm doing my skincare at home, you know, in the evening and in the morning, you know, as part of my morning rituals, an evening ritual, I find that that's to be true now, right? Because I went away last night, and I did the night before. And I did bare minimum. I also just didn't bring everything with me because I just didn't have the bandwidth. I just brought some bare minimum stuff, you know? Right. But I hear you. Like it's hard when you're not in your space and you don't have your normal regular cues.
Yeah.
And it's really easy for me. I'll speak for me. It's really easy for me to get thrown off my routine and my ritual. It's very easy. So it hasn't come to the point where it's like habit where I just go through it automatically, no matter what. That hasn't happened. I still have to be very conscious about doing it. And I still need to have those visual cues. I still need to have, you know, and this morning was a much crazier morning because I had to go drive my husband to the airport instead of doing our regular after drop off.
That was unusual.
Routine. Yeah, exactly. So there's things that I've skipped today because of that. Right. So, I was gone for the last day and a half, I'm out of my routine again. So like, I have to like consciously put stuff back in, and I have to just, it hasn't gotten to the point where it's like automatic habit for me, but you know, I notice when I do it, like I notice the difference when I'm able to go ahead and do it. And by the way, I just want to say that when we talk about this ritual, it doesn't have to be a lengthy thing. You already are doing things in the morning that is routine. You already are doing the things that you have to do. Probably already brushing your teeth. There's things you're already doing that are part of a routine. And we talk about trying to make it a ritual, make it a little bit more like elevated or conscious, or have it be something that really nurtures and nourishes you. Even if it's just something that literally takes 30 seconds, right? It doesn't have to be crazy involved in order for it to be ritualistic and for it to have that kind of benefit for you.
Right. And actually, one of the best things you can do, which we say in our book, Rock Your Morning, and in our workshop based on the book, if you go to our website, bywdreams.com, go under what to teach, you'll see we have a workshop. It's called Seize the Day with Self-Care. We're in the middle of rebranding, for those of you paying attention. And, you know, one of the number one things we recommend, if you're not already doing it, is to make your bed. And it literally takes me 30 seconds to make my bed. It took me 40 seconds when I was on this trip because they had more pillows on it. So I timed it because I did a little video. So it's one of the best things you can do. It's one of the most studied habits. Like, there's so much science behind it. It's kind of crazy. I mean, there's obvious benefits in that your room is neater, but it's also been shown to, you know, increase confidence, increase your ability to make good decisions because you've already made one good decision. Like, yay, just go forward.
Keep it going.
Yeah. And probably one of the most surprising benefits of making your bed is that it gives you a better night's sleep, because the process of unmaking your bed actually triggers your brain to get ready for that night's sleep. And so that's obviously one of the things that always happens no matter where I am. But it was just really interesting because I traveled for about 9 days, stayed with friends. So cramped quarters, didn't have as much opportunity. I noticed the things I was and wasn't doing with my morning ritual. Then I was 9 days completely by myself in a 3-bedroom house. So I had plenty of space.
Yeah.
I had a desk with nothing but my skincare on it. And it still didn't feel like, you know, the amazing, cozy, nurturing experience that I have at home, you know, because I've just, you know, made it my own. So it was very interesting to have that insight and to see. And as soon as I got home and I was back in my space in that location, you know, I've lived here a long time. I've been doing my skincare a long time. So it's a strong connection in my brain. Just went right back into it. So that was really fascinating.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, how did you fall right back into it?
Right back into it.
You did.
Right back into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was just interesting to, you know, notice those things. And at this point, Natasha and I are kind of students of the whole morning ritual and habit formation. And so I'm always aware of like these little insights so that we can share them with other people. It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, so for almost 3 weeks, I was not doing my morning ritual the same way. I was doing morning ritual light, if you will. But then I came home and I just went right back into it. It was just like a well-oiled machine. So that was cool.
That's dope. Actually, that's really great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to chat about asking for and maybe even conceiving of, if this might be something that, you know, might be challenging for you, of the Mother's Day that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how old my kid was when I realized that, you know what, it's not really Mother's Day if I have to clean up after whatever it is that they've, you know, put together for me,
right.
Which, you know, I appreciate the effort, but I would rather nothing happen than something happens and now I have to clean up. You know, work has been made for me.
Right. Yes. So like, what is it that you desire that, you know, that your kids can still participate in? What is age appropriate for them? Right. Like, you know, and if you have a partner, it's probably going to be, you know, fall on their lap to go ahead and initiate that. If you're a single mom, it's going to look differently for you. Right. And maybe you're going to have to really ask for what you need from somebody else, you know, on that day or a day that substitute that you observe it.
Yes,
maybe not,
exactly.
Maybe you don't observe it on Mother's Day. Right. But maybe you do, but the, you know, obviously your partner, if you have a partner, is going to be probably spearheading this day. Right. And I think it's especially
absolutely
on that day, right. It's funny. Cause my husband, or did I see as a meme? I don't know. Cause like, my husband's always just like, why is Father's Day? I was like, we're going to go do this activity with the kids, you know, and Mother's Day is, at least in my house, I'm like, hi, everybody. Thanks for breakfast. Bye. You know what I mean? Like for Mother's Day, mom wants to just sit by herself. Or, you know, like I have a friend who has what she's done for every year for Mother's Day. Her husband gets her a hotel room. Like she has a staycation and she gets to order room service and do whatever she wants and has a massage at the hotel and just gets a day away. Right. Like, I think he may even give her 2 nights at a hotel room where she just gets to really like legit take a break, you know, and definitely doesn't have to clean up after anyone. And, you know, that's her Mother's Day gift. And that sounds pretty nice to some people. So maybe that's, you know, maybe that's something to ask for, potentially. But if you're not going to book a hotel room somewhere, if that's not in the budget or it doesn't appeal to you, what does sound good? And don't be afraid to ask for it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, if you're a brand new mom,
you know, trust me, you can ask for it. You know, you don't have to just
ask
what's given. Obviously,
ask
if you're a brand new
it.
Mom, your partner is most likely definitely going to be giving you the Mother's Day experience, right?
Well, and I grew up with a mom who, for some reason, would always say, well, my husband should know what I want, you know, whether it was Christmas
right.
or birthday or Mother's Day, she never asked for what she wanted. And I said, she told me something that she wanted, and I said, well, why don't you tell dad about that? My father's no longer with us. This was a while ago. Why don't you tell dad that you want that? And she said, he should know. And I said to her, did dad become a mind reader at some point? And I'm not aware of this. And the reality is it is very hard to know a person. It is very hard to know a person. I've been with the same person 26 years, and we still have misunderstandings where he says something and I said, oh, really? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, boy, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. And I'm like, yeah, oh, okay.
Right. Well, you're talking about two people. Communication isn't always perfect. And no. Dropping hints.
No.
That is so a recipe for upset. Yeah.
For sure. So my I actually make always, a list.
My dad would be like, well, I'm just going to go to Macy's and pull the first thing off the rack and buy that because your mother's going to return. He's like, whether I put a lot of thought into it or not, she's going to return it anyway. He's like, I'm just going to go and spend the amount of money that I want to spend, bring it to her, and she'll go return it. You know what I mean? Like, and that was their ritual. They still do that to this day to some degree. And my dad also, like, he really got into numismatics and collecting coins and things. So he would get her like this interesting like jewelry that was like made by like, you know, I don't know, with coins in it and stuff. It was not her style, not her taste. He thought it was cool. He thought it was really interesting. She never wore that jewelry, right? And he would then next year buy her something from that catalog again. And I was like, Dad, stop buying her these like a coin medallion thing. I mean, if you're into it, it's cool, right? It was not her style. It wasn't what she's into. And it's really funny. You know, they say that you seek out you know, sometimes when you seek out in a partner, what you were modeled as your parent. And there are aspects of my husband that are very similar to my dad. And there are aspects that are very much not like my dad. But when there's this one thing, my husband will order this stuff out of this catalog. And we joke about it now because when the catalog comes, I'm like, I put it in the recycling. I'm like, so the other day he's like to the boys, like, hey boys, look, maybe we should order this for your mom from this catalog. I'm like, don't. So it's now a joke because he has gotten me two things from there that were both not misses. You know what I mean? But I was just like, babe, really nothing else from this catalog. I'm like, I promise you right now, I don't want anything in this catalog. I don't. Please. And so he's joking about it, but feel free to say that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
feel free to just really tell somebody what you want so that you don't have to return it or people's feelings don't get hurt, you know? And you get what you want. I think as women too, like we think that we should either A, we've gotten the message that our partner should just know us so well that they know, right? Like what your mom said.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we're not necessarily in the habit of asking for what we want. We don't think that, you know, especially, you know, if you're a mom, you're often not the first priority on your list. You know, your child and your partner often come first. You come like third, maybe in a lot of cases, you know? So it's really okay, especially for this day. And
well,
you
should and one thing
practice that throughout, but for asking for what you want, and maybe you don't know what you want, but can you think for a moment, like what would be the feeling? Is it more of like, yay, celebration with family? Is it that feeling that you want to have on Mother's Day? Or is it like, geez, I really do want some time to myself? Or maybe it's even some, you know, having like a mom's brunch or something like that, as opposed to like going out with the family. Maybe you want to have some other, you know, female friend time, you know? So what's the feeling that you want to have for that day? You know, I think that's a really good place to start. Is it loaded with people? or is it more solitary?
Yeah. What interests you? Like, is it food? Is it being outdoors? Is it flowers? You know, one thing that I do that I would recommend as something to think about is at the beginning of the year, I actually give my husband a list of date and gift ideas. So this was the first draft. This is why I have it. I pulled it out of last year's planner. And then I give him the second draft. And so I just write down date and gift ideas. And I put next to it, I put dollar signs for every $25 that it would cost. And so some of them, you know, are expensive and some of them are nothing. I have on here a rose bush, a specific rose that I really like the roses from, hot air balloon ride, picnic in the park, hike and picnic, puzzle and home cooked meal, paddleboard date. So totally, you know, just all over the place. I just threw out ideas of things that sounded fun to me. And then he gets to decide. And for some of you, that might feel like unromantic. Like, I want someone who knows me so well they can come up with things. Okay, well, you can try that. And all I can say is that having been married 26 years, this is what works for us, because right. he has enough guidance that he knows I'm going to enjoy it, but there's also enough choices that he feels like he's actually choosing.
And some people are really amazing gift givers, right? So there's some people who are just kind of like, they pay attention, they go, oh, she really likes blah, 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 and they clock that, right? And some people are not. So some people enjoy having or are happy to have a yes. list like that. Like, you know, Target and Amazon, it used to be Toys R Us, send your kids a toy catalog right around November, right? Mm-hmm. And you, I don't know if your kids do this, but my kids go through and circle everything, you know? So, but what's great is that it really does help me go, okay, because we celebrate Christmas. So like on Christmas morning, you really do want to have your kid like light up and be like, oh my gosh, I love this thing that I really, really, you know, I got the thing that I, so I always say to my kids, I'm like, well, it's great that you want so much stuff. I'm like, the surprise is going to be which one of these things you get, right? And just, and set expectations for them. They're not going to get everything. But for me as a parent, I'm like, cause like, especially now that they're a little bit older, when they were younger, it was really easy to know what they liked and what they didn't like. But as they get older, it's kind of like, one of them's turning 11. It's like, how much of like the younger kid toys does he still like? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's aged out of them. You know, it's hard to tell sometimes, you know, because kids likes and dislikes change a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, that I like that, right? So I like to know. And you also have to just know yourself. Are you somebody who's like, who's, you know, for lack of a better word, picky, you know? Or are you somebody who's just like, it's the thought that counts and I'm super happy. You know what right. I mean? So maybe you don't need to give somebody
but include
a list
the gift
you're just
receipt.
Happy that, you know, he got you a pasta maker. I don't know. You know, so, you know, you have to know yourself too. and whether yes. or not it would make a difference to you, what kind of gift you get.
And I'm the sort of person who likes to give gifts that people want to receive. And yes. so before we had a kid, I used to ask our moms, hey, how do you want to spend Mother's Day? And we have two moms to coordinate because they both live locally. And so I would throw out ideas. I would say, hey, do you, and I, you know, I know our moms. And so I'd ask them, do you want to go see, like one thing we did once was to go see the design house, these houses that get all like spruced up and then you buy tickets to go tour them. And look, I'm not a big fan of celebrating Mother's Day on Mother's Day, because it can be a little nutty out there. It's kind of like Valentine's Day, right? It's just like so much trauma for not a lot of payback. So Mother's Day doesn't have to be celebrated on Mother's Day. You can kind of go around, like find out cool things that are happening in your area, kind of in the month of May, and say to your mom, like, hey, does this sound interesting to you? And also for your kids, you're modeling for them what it looks like to ask for what you want, which is such a good thing to model. My daughter is so much better at asking for what she wants than I was at her age.
That's amazing. Yeah, for real. Yeah, they really get to ask for what they want. That's such a great skill set to start to practice. Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the other thing too, is if you're in the sandwich generation, like I am, last year around Mother's Day, I felt this certain amount of anxiety, because now that my grandmother is also in the mix. So now there's my mom, my grandma, my mother-in-law, me are the mothers. And my husband and daughter are the two.
Oh my gosh.
We're like
yeah,
a tree.
A lot of responsibility.
Mother's here and the little trunk right here. And I said to my mom and to my mother-in-law, and to my grandma has really bad dementia, so it wasn't something she was going to remember anyway. So my mom and my mother-in-law, I said, ladies, I've never had a Mother's Day all to myself. My child is a teenager. I would like to just be a participant in Mother's Day and not have to actually give on Mother's Day. And it was a hard thing for me to say. Like, it was
I can imagine.
I felt a little bit of guilt going into it, but I also knew this is what I wanted. I didn't want any responsibility, because my Mother's Day, I'm also giving as well as receiving. And
yes, that's got to be hard.
And both of my moms were completely, they're like, I completely understand. I could see why you would want to be all. And by the way, neither of my mothers lived near their mothers, so they never had to do Mother's Day when they were actively raising their kids.
Right.
So I was like, look, hey, y'all, I'm actively raising my kid and I'm actively supporting you all as my mother. So I would like today to be just about me. And it was great. And guess what? This year we're going back to celebrating all together.
Nice.
I just needed a day to myself.
Yes, totally. Good for you for asking for it. And I'm sure that probably, you know, as women too, you feel guilty for asking for that kind of thing, saying, I want it to be all about me. My goodness. Like, you know, just feeling right. Just feeling like
I did. I totally felt guilty about it. But then I was like, hold on. I'm the only one actively raising a child. And it has been 13 Mother's Days when I have been the daughter and the mother.
Like, right. Right.
And guess what? This year I was like, no, I'm happy to celebrate with everyone. So mm-hmm. I just needed a day to myself. And you're totally
it.
Allowed. And
I'm glad you asked for it. That's really great. So you've got like less than a month. If you haven't already, if Mother's Day isn't already something that, you know, has been sussed out and planned, or, you know, maybe y'all do the same thing every year. Maybe you want to go to brunch. Maybe the reservations are already happening. But if not, think first and foremost, what would be a day that really is something that is honoring you, honoring where you're at, excuse me, giving you a thing like Allegra said, like she felt filled up on that Mother's Day. So she's happy to go back to the way Mother's Days have been before. Maybe this year is like, hey guys, I don't need breakfast in bed today. Honey, will you take the kids out to breakfast? Right. So that you don't have mm-hmm. to clean up afterwards. Right.
Right.
And also letting your partner know that if you do, let's say the kids make breakfast for you and all that stuff, that part of their gift to you is that they don't leave a mess for you, right? Mm-hmm. That they don't leave that for you to that the cleaning up part is part of their gift to you. If you don't already have that division of labor laid out, it's not quite that, it's not evenly laid out in my family. So when I cook dinner, I clean dinner. And when somebody else cooks dinner, I clean up after dinner. We've had many discussions about this in my family. It's still an ongoing thing. So if that is this case for you, make sure they know that cleanup is also part of the gift. I want to just make that super clear, right?
Yeah.
And
if you're a single mom, either by choice or not by choice,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have family that you can lean on, I recommend it. You know, you're the one actively raising children. At some point last year, I had to say to my mom and my mother-in-law, I'm the one who's actively raising a child right now. I'm the one who needs Mother's Day. The two of you are retired. Like, you know, let me have Mother's Day. And they were like, oh yeah, I haven't thought about it that way. Take Mother's Day. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully you have some family who can support you and say like, hey, I need a Mother's Day to myself. Or, you know, another great thing you can do is maybe you can trade off with a friend and, you know, you celebrate Mother's Day on Saturday. She celebrates Mother's Day on Sunday and you can watch each other's children while you're taking a day to yourself. So yeah, take some time for yourself. You deserve it. You deserve to recognize, celebrate, and rest from the amazing yes. gift and work that is being a mother.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to just mention to you is that, you know, one of the traditions that we have for Father's Day, ever since the kids were little, I used to have them fill in the, like, all about my dad sheets, right? Like, how old is he? How, you know, the kids would be like 103, you know, cute little things like
yeah,
that. You
yeah.
know, like, and so it's really cute to see over the years where they start, this kind of started in preschool when I could ask them the questions and I was filling it in. Now they're filling it in themselves, obviously. And I've kept them all like in a book all about my dad. Right. And so it's something that might be when they get a new sheet, we then sit through it that, you know, read through all the old ones. Right. Really cute, you know? And I realized last year, I was like, hey, I want it all about mom sheet. Right.
It's yeah. Not something
that my husband really thinks about. I do have to say though, if your kid's in public school, it's always great because Mother's Day does still fall in the school year and the teachers, at least in elementary school, will send your kid home with some kind of homemade Mother's Day gift.
Yes.
Usually.
I'm actually looking at one right now from 2017.
Yeah. And Father's Day doesn't fall during the school year. So kids don't usually have like a Father's Day, homemade Father's Day gift when they're in elementary school. So I think that has kind of taken that spot where they've been making me like homemade picture frames or whatever. Back in the day, we all made mom ashtrays and stuff, right? Stuff like that. So yeah, I want something that they've colored or created or stuff, you know, even though that they're a teenager and a tween, I still kind of want something that's personally from them. So, you know, feel free to ask for that kind of stuff too. You know, your partner may have to spearhead it, might have to break out the Crayola crayons and stuff. But you know, think about what you do for them on Father's Day, maybe, and that. And
yeah, that's a great idea.
Maybe have that. That can also be a touchstone for where to, a jumping off point.
Or even print out the All About My Mom thing and just give it straight to your kids. Like,
totally. Yep. Yep.
There's no reason to beat around the bush about what you want.
Those printables are all over the internet. Like I've printed out All About My Dad. I don't think we've ever had a duplicate. Every year I've put two different ones.
Oh, interesting.
For each of them to fill out. And in all of the years that we've been doing it, I don't think we have any duplicate forms, so to speak. And then you can always make up your own too.
By the way, we do have something amazing that we are planning as a Mother's Day gift. So it's not happening in May, because there's enough things happening in May between end of school year and Mother's Day. And so we have planned an amazing event in July 28th called Mama Self-Love Bootcamp. And why July? Well, you might not know, but July is actually Rebuild Your Life Month. And when you have kids, when you exit that 0 to 5 period, I know I felt like I needed to rebuild my life. I was like, who am I? Where am I? And what's my name? I don't know. So in honor of Rebuild Your Life Month and National Parents Day, which is July 28th, we are doing a half-day virtual event, but it's not a virtual event where you're going to be sitting in your chair in front of the computer just like typing. This is an event. We are going to have a Polynesian dancer sharing her medicine of releasing trauma through dance with she's all about the hips. I'm so excited about this. Natasha and I are going to be her guinea pigs. We have a crafting mama who is going to show you how to use art as a form of self-love. It's going to be such a fun event, and it's $49. So, hey, this would be a great thing to tell someone in your life, I would love this as a Mother's Day gift.
Yeah, it's a lovely half day. It's not even something that's going to be like 10 hours or anything. We also have a great person who is a body self-love coach to talk about loving this body that you're in all forms, and just getting to know it and be friends with your body. So we have, you know, we've got a lot of nice things planned. That's really, it is about mama self-love.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So if you go to Mama Self-Love Bootcamp, that's MamaSelfLoveBootcamp. So MamaSelfLoveBootcamp.com. It's a $49 event, but there's an early bird special price.
Right. So, for Mother's Day.
Yes, for Mother's Day. So buy it for a gift for yourself. Buy it for a gift for a mom you know, or tell someone that you want it. It's going to get you 50% off. So the event's going to be $24. Hello. No brainer.
Yeah.
And the code for that is EB, so early bird, 5050 OFF off. EB50OFF. That is the promo code to use, and it is good until June. So get your tickets for Mama Self Love Bootcamp. It makes a perfect Mother's Day
gift. Yes, or have someone get it for you.
So thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next Thursday, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, where we will do our usual chit-chat and talk about what is some topic that we have picked. Actually, next week, we're going to have an interview with our crafting expert.
Yeah, so excited.
So tune in to check her out and get a preview of what's to come on Mama Self-Love Bootcamp.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Harness the Power of Planning podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen.